Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan
with insurancebroker.ie
on News Talk.
You've been hearing since, well, early yesterday morning about the Pope's passing. The arrival of the Pope in any country, as you know well, typically signals huge crowds and massive spectacles, as we witnessed here in Ireland only back a number of years ago. But we're asking, do you still regard Ireland as a Catholic country today? And we're talking about the tributes that have been pouring in worldwide for the Pope since his passing, Pope Francis, yesterday morning. Noel is with us on the line today in Tipperary. Noel, would you still regard Ireland as a Catholic country?
Good afternoon, Andrea. Yeah, it depends on how you define Catholic. If you're defining Catholic in terms of the 60s and 70s, no, it's not in that sense of large numbers attending Mass and so on. But if you're defining Catholic in the truly gospel sense, I think you have a more authentic church in terms of one that's engaging with the issues. And I think Francis would have had his critics, but he also would have had a lot of admirers, particularly his stance on climate change and climate justice. And he introduced the language of just transition, that in transitioning to a new way of using energy in our world, people needed to be supported, those in particular the poorest who were most affected. And he highlighted the fact that the people who are contributing the least to environmental impact are the ones going to be most impacted. I noticed I was at a conference down in of the Munster Diocese there only a couple of months ago, and it was fascinating to hear from the Killaloe Diocese the way the biodiversity officer at Kildare County Council was using what Francis has wrote in Laudate Si, his famous encyclical on the environment, and saying to parish groups in Clare, your church grounds could become centres for biodiversity. And what the parishioners found was young people who had left the church were coming into those grounds and engaging with them. And they were really struck by what Francis said, and it created a connection with church that young people had left. And from the young people's perspective, this was a more authentic way of being church. And I think Francis went out to the margins, as he said, the church should be a field hospital. And you will find, and I've been teaching young people for years, that when young people see a need that needs to be addressed and needs to be supported, they roll up their sleeves and put their shoulders to the wheel.
So Pope Francis had a way of connecting with younger people again, with the youth.
Yeah, and I think his gift was his humanity. He brought humanity to it. He wasn't interested in protecting the institution or the power groups. He was interested in addressing the human person and the human need. I mean, one of his first acts was to go and celebrate Mass among migrants who had crossed the Mediterranean. It wasn't to go and meet other bishops and cardinals. He paid his own bills and so on. He travelled in a smaller car than would have been historically the case in terms of the Pope, showing that he was walking with the ordinary people. And somebody I was talking to yesterday said he was really the people's Pope in terms of he stood from where people are at rather than where he wanted people to be. And historically, I suppose the Irish Church in particular has been very authoritarian, more concerned with protecting the institution. Even in the early days of the sex abuse scandal, the institution was more important than the victims. Francis shifted that focus to say the person is at the centre of the gospel, not the institution.
Obviously, the last Pope's visit to Ireland was, what, seven years ago, 2018 or 2018. And we look at the numbers, the CSO figures, we'll say the most recent ones, Noel, that tell us, I think it's about 69% of Irish people identify as Catholic. That's down from 79% back in 2016. I wonder how much, how many people will mourn the Pope's passing over the next number of days?
Well, you notice you're in the media business. Every major media outlet right now is in Rome and has correspondents there. So obviously he's a person of significance. And I suppose in a way, in his funeral and in his passing, there's a massive education going on of what this man was about. maybe people who never were aware of some of the stuff he did will be aware by the end of the week at the funeral. I'll give you an example. I was at Malawi with a group of carpenters only last year, and his impact in Africa is huge. In Malawi, every parish I went into, there was quotations on the wall from his encyclical Laudate Si on climate change. The principle he introduced of a synodal church rather than an institutional church, where people sit down and listen to each other and come to decisions by listening to each other. As one priest and bishop said to me in Malawi, we've been practicing that here for the last 20 years. So if you like, he brought a perspective from outside of the Western world to the church. To say that people need to be listened to. And if you watched clips of the synod in Rome when it was happening, he wasn't sitting at the top of the room. He was sitting at a table, and he deliberately had tables scattered around the room where people sat and listened to each other. And he introduced an interesting idea that while anybody that was speaking, you could not offer your piece of advice, criticism or insight. You had to concentrate on listening. So he was powerful on the belief that listening should be at the heart of decision making.
Father Paddy Byrne is with us, Noel, as well on the line. Paddy, of course, is the parish priest of Abbey Leaks, Raheen and Ballinakil. Father Byrne, I might get your reaction maybe just to the post passing first of all yesterday.
Good afternoon, and to all your listeners. Personally, I suppose my sense is one of gratitude. My priesthood has been greatly invigorated by the ministry of Pope Francis. He's put an injection into my relationship with the Lord, not so much by virtue of what he said, but by what he actually did. The gestures accompanying a sense of humility, the lovely language about inclusion, the sense of prioritizing people, as our previous speaker has said, of bringing the gospel deeply, making it very relevant. And, you know, you mentioned there 70% of people still in a country that has grown hugely in population and gone through the horrendous turmoil of so many scandals, literally the unimaginable suffering inflicted upon individuals as a consequence of an institutional church that has fundamentally in the past failed to listen, to be honest even. And yet people, because I think at our core, I think at the core of who we are deeply spiritual people. And I think Francis gave freedom. You know, in the previous pontificates, there was a sense of fear almost to actually speak one's truth as a consequence to the personal relationship we may all have with the Lord. And I think Francis, in that synodal discernment that he absolutely engaged and benefited others with, you know, he gave me freedom to speak truth, to be ourselves. And I think that's a lovely gift and a sense of opportunity to the church to just celebrate being the gift that each one of us are in the sight of God.
Yeah, I've been listening all right yesterday and today, Paddy, and, you know, from some people like yourself and Noel as well, who, you know, would know a lot about Pope Francis, talking about what he meant to the Catholic community and that ability to reach out to people who might not have necessarily described themselves as being very active or practicing Catholics. I do wonder though, Paddy, given the kind of the rolling media coverage that we've had of the Pope's passing over the past 24 hours, how much just like all of us regular Irish people, maybe myself included, some of our listeners, connect with that?
The answer is I'm sure, like, you know, part of our culture in Ireland particularly, if you look at the phenomenon that is RIP.ie, there's generations there who we do death very well in our culture. I'm just coming from a funeral in a local area. There was at least 500 people present on a busy Tuesday afternoon from that. So we, you know, I think we have, no matter what creed or culture one is, if you're part of our communities, in particularly in rural Ireland, people acknowledge the passing of significant people and of members of our community. So I think there's an innate respect and decency in the Irish people. And certainly, you know, if you look at over 150 world leaders will gather in Rome on Saturday for Pope Francis' funeral, as already named, every world media outlet out there. And I think it's a significant moment in time, particularly in a moment in time, if you look at the culture that's very toxic in terms of being polemical towards the migrants, towards people from different genders or from different orientations. It's quite toxic out there at the moment, particularly in the West. And I think this is a moment of balance, a moment to throw light. It's a Kairos moment, a moment where we can throw positive light and energy. And please God, whoever has the responsibility of preaching there on Saturday and sharing that good news, it's an absolute moment of significance. And please God, it's for the better.
So thanks a million, Father Paddy, for joining us here today and sharing your thoughts. It's Father Paddy Byrne with us there, parish priest of Abbey Leaks, Raheenan and Ballinakil. John Hamill is on the line. John, do you think the Pope's passing will give a lot of regular, you know, Irish people some, well, it's just something to think about?
Yeah, I think so. You mentioned earlier there's about 70% of Ireland still self-identifies as Catholic. So, I mean, I don't feel any connection to the Pope myself. If a lot of those people who do feel that connection want to remember the man in the way that they choose, of course, it's always sad when someone passes away. But I have to say, all of this discussion about how transformative Pope Francis has been and the differences between his pontificate and the ones that came before him just ring a bit hollow with me. I mean, I can't think of a single thing about Catholic teaching, Catholic doctrine, Catholic dogma that has changed. It's still exactly the same Catholic Church as it was when I was a young fellow.
You're part of the church, is that right, John?
No, I'm an atheist, but I guess we're all in this country part of the church in a sense, given that the state imposes Catholicism on all of us, whether it's through the education system or other aspects of legislation, and indeed the Constitution itself is explicitly Catholic.
So do you think most people regard Ireland still then as a Catholic country, even though they might identify when it comes to ticking a box in a census form?
No, I don't think so. I think as a people, we are a pluralist country. So that, as you described, there's lots of different views among people about religious issues. I don't seek to impose my views on my neighbours. My Catholic neighbours don't seek to impose their views on me. I think we're very much a live and let live country. The problem is we have a set of legislation and a statute book and a set of public services that are really out of date and haven't caught up with the fact that we're now a pluralist country. So I mentioned the education service, for example. The Irish Catholic bishops publish an ethos that is repeated in the admission policy of all the Catholic schools around the world, around the country, sorry, and it says what it's about is the formation of the pupils in the Catholic faith in accordance with the doctrines of the Roman Catholic Church. And as I say, the Pope, the last Pope, didn't change anything about those doctrines. If you look at the textbooks that are used to indoctrinate kids with Catholicism in state-funded schools today, it's the same Catholicism that existed decades ago.
No, I was just going to read a text from this listener who says, I'm 25 and I am religious. The church is still very important to a lot of people in this country. We're progressive and it's possible to be progressive and still have a place in the Catholic Church. The Pope passing is a big deal for a lot of us in this country and we're often the ones that are forgotten about. This texter says, I don't think Ireland is religious anymore, or at least it's not one religion. We've so many other religions in Ireland. No one church has control anymore, which I happen to think is a good thing. Connor is with us on the line. Connor, you are in your 20s. Do you identify, you know, as being a Catholic or any other religion?
Hi, thanks, Andrea. I don't identify as a Catholic. I wouldn't identify as any religion, but I would consider myself spiritual. However, personally, I have never felt a strong connection to the Catholic Church, and when I think of my age cohort and look around, I would say I know 5% of the people I know my age are probably practicing Catholics. And other than that, I think there's a general cynical view on the Catholic Church. And I think, that's partly to do with the crimes that have happened over the years. And while I think there's probably a lot of good people in the church and there's a lot of great teachings that come from the core of Christianity, I think people nowadays, a lot of people associate Catholicism with the crimes that have happened over the years. And I would say I find it hard to separate the two. I see the teachings at the core of Christianity as very valuable teachings. There's a lot of wisdom and there's things that, when applied to daily life, can be transformative. But that, to me, is separate from the Catholic Church at this point.
The text here says there's no place in modern society for religion. We need rid of it completely. It should be removed from schools and all other institutions. This listener says, I think Ireland is absolutely still a Catholic country. Yes, we've a few atheists and mixed religions and none, but I would still say it, from my experience and looking at mass attendance in my own locality, there is a lot of church bashing that goes on. It'll survive like it has for many hundreds of years. And finally, Mark in Wexford says there's less and less Catholics in Ireland now, but that doesn't have to be a bad thing. There's a place for all of us. It's important that the religious hold what they have and that their influence stays solely within the church. 087 1400 106, that is the WhatsApp number. That is, of course, Connor, John Hamill, Father Paddy Byrne, Noel as well in Clonmel. Thanks a million for joining us. You can email us, lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
With insurancebroker.ie.
Weekdays at midday on News Talk.